Who is Jesus Christ? Colossians 1:1 through 23 give us a staggering description. Paul tells the Colossians that Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the creator of all things, and the one who holds everything together. Jesus is the head of the church, the firstborn from the dead, and the supreme authority over all creation. Today on the Wisdom Journey, Stephen unpacks this passage in a lesson called, Jesus is Creator God.
I can remember as a seminary student going over to the student center to look at the job postings from churches from around the country who were seeking a pastor. Every few days I'd go over there and I'd scan those little 3x5 cards. Well, the problem was every one of those churches wanted somebody with 3 to 5 years of experience. Over and over again, I'd read that little phrase, even from churches of 50 people. Well, they wanted a pastor with 3 to 5 years of experience. Well, I didn't have that. As a result, I never got any of those jobs. My wife and I ended up planting a church from the ground up, and I can still remember 5 years later, our church had more than 500 people attending, and it struck me that I now had enough experience to pastor one of those churches of 50 people. I finally had enough experience. Well, I didn't resent that process, of course, because the Lord used it to lead us in a different way into a different place. Some time ago, I read of a church looking for a pastor, and they wanted one with good communication skills, detail-oriented, skillful in organization. This church was, frankly, focused more on the man's skills than his message. In fact, they didn't even list that he needed to be committed to the Word of God. Now, don't misunderstand. Organizational ability and communication and experience, those are just fine. But I wonder how that church would respond if the Apostle Paul had sent them his resume. And his resume would have said something like, I'm not very eloquent. I suffer physical limitations. In every city I travel to, a riot usually breaks out. I'm currently in prison for my faith, but I love Jesus and I love to preach the gospel. I don't think Paul would ever get a phone call from most churches today. Because of Paul's commitment to the gospel, however, he's about to have a very powerful impact on a church located in a little town called Colossae. And today, we set sail here in Paul's letter to this church. Paul says here in verse 4 that he's heard about them. He writes, well, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love that you have for all the saints. Well, Paul goes on to tell them here that he's been praying for them, and that must have been very encouraging to them. He writes here in verse 9 that he was praying that they would be filled with the knowledge of God's will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. How's that for a prayer for a local church? Well, you know, it's a great prayer you might offer for your spouse or your children or your own pastor and church. Now, with that, Paul turns from prayer for the Colossians to the person of Christ. And this is a rather staggering description of Jesus Christ here. You want to know who Jesus Christ is? Well, you don't need to look any further than right here. Paul is going to give us 7 descriptions of Jesus. And the first one is here in verse 15, where Paul writes this. He is the image of the invisible God. Now, the word image here has the idea of representation and manifestation. The Bible tells us that we have been made in the image of God. And though quite imperfectly, we represent God to our world today. But get this. Paul does not write here that Jesus was made in the image of God, but that Jesus is the image of God. He already perfectly represents the Godhead. You remember when Jesus said in John 14:9, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. In other words, Jesus is saying, I am the physical manifestation of the eternal Godhead. Now, here's the second description in verse 15. Paul writes that Jesus is the firstborn of all creation. Now, there are a lot of religious cults out there and religious movements that try to use this particular phrase to prove that Jesus was simply created first, that he was not eternal. Well, the word Paul uses here for firstborn refers to one who is actually supreme, that is, first in priority. So Paul is saying here that Jesus has the priority over all of creation. He is the prototokos, that's the word, over everything. He has the supreme authority over all of creation. Now, the view that Jesus was simply some exalted human being because he was a good man, perfect even, instead of eternal God the Son, well, that goes all the way back to the early Gnostics. Those were false teachers who denied the deity of Christ. Some time ago, I received a 10-page letter from someone who was disturbed that I was teaching the eternal deity of Jesus, that he pre-existed as God the Son before he was born and named Jesus. Well, he listed this verse here in Colossians as evidence that, well, Jesus was just the first created being and he was merely a human man. Well, even though this man didn't know what prototokos meant, and that's fine, all he had to do was look at the next verse. A man cannot do what Paul reveals here in his third description of Jesus Christ. Here it is. He is the creator of all things. Paul writes in verse 16, "For by him," that is Jesus, "all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him." So even though Jesus was born miraculously into the human race and given the name Jesus at a point in time, he existed as God the Son from eternity past. So he was never created. He is the creator. Well, think of that stunning revelation when you go back to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Paul says right here in Colossians 1:16 that the God of creation is God the Son, Jesus, who from eternity past is God the Son. He was the one who spoke those words, "Let there be light." From the constellations, to the animals, to the human race, Jesus was the one speaking them into existence in Genesis chapter 1. Jesus was speaking at the very moment recorded for us in that wonderful chapter at the beginning of the Bible. He is Creator God. Now, Jesus didn't just create the universe. Paul goes on to tell us in this fourth description that Jesus is actually holding everything together. Verse 17 says, "He is before all things, and in him all things hold together." Now, the scientific world can appeal to a strong nuclear force, they call it, that binds atoms together. But the Bible reveals that behind any natural force that holds matter together is actually the power of Jesus Christ. And let me tell you, beloved, there's a day coming when the Lord is going to release his hold. The Apostle Peter says that this is going to be the final judgment in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13. Peter writes that like some great atomic bomb, the heavens will pass away with a roar and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved. It's just going to simply vaporize. Following this final judgment, the Bible tells us, after the millennial kingdom, the Lord is going to create a new universe, brand new heavens, brand new constellations, and a brand new earth. That's all in Revelation chapter 21. Now, here's a fifth description of Jesus. Paul writes in verse 18 that Jesus is the head of the church. So Jesus is not only the chief designer of all of creation, he is the chief shepherd of the church. Now, Paul adds another description here in verse 18 that Jesus is the firstborn from the dead. In other words, Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead with a glorified body that will never experience death again. Jesus is the promise for you and me, beloved, that we also will be raised from the dead with glorified, sinless bodies designed this time to last forever. Now, how can we hope for this kind of body, this eternal life with the Lord? Well, Paul tells us here in this final description, number 7, here it is, Jesus is the peace treaty that guarantees our forgiveness. He writes here in verse 20 that Jesus made peace by the blood of his cross. And verse 22, he will present you holy and blameless and above reproach before him. I love that expression. Jesus is our treaty, our peace treaty. That peace treaty has been written in red, blood red, beloved. His payment for your sins and mine is essentially the ink in that peace treaty we can have with God. Well, this amazing list of descriptions leads us to praise the Lord and to worship the Lord and to follow the Lord until one day we see him, and we will, face to face. Well, until we set sail again, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
That was Stephen Davey, the president of Wisdom International. Today, continue to reflect on these truths. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the head of the church, and the one who holds all things together. If you're enjoying this wisdom journey, but occasionally have to miss a broadcast, we have a resource to help you. If you haven't seen it, I encourage you to install the Wisdom International app to your phone or tablet. Once you do, you can take this Bible teaching ministry wherever you go. You can follow along on both the Wisdom Journey and Wisdom for the Heart. In addition, all of the past lessons from this Wisdom Journey are available for you to access free and on demand. You can watch the video version, you can listen to the audio, or you can read Stephen's manuscript. That library of content is available on the Wisdom International app. Install it on your phone, and you can quickly and easily access all of these resources wherever you are. The app you're looking for is called Wisdom International. Install that today, then join us next time.